It was really learning by doing throughout the whole process. And there were some rough patches in there, and I'm thankful for some great team people in my life that came alongside and gave us a boost, right? That's one of the entrepreneurial myths, as we think of these entrepreneurs who start businesses and that one guy or that one gal and all the things they did, but they had this team around them. And that's one of the things I love to remind people as they're looking to live the life they want, is you got to do it with the team.
What's going on, everybody? This is the Passive Wealth Strategy Show, the show that will teach you how to build wealth with real estate without buying yourself another job. As always, I am your host, Taylor Lode. I'm a real estate investor, and I focus on multifamily and self-storage investing. Today, we are joined by Amanda Neely. Amanda is a former coffee shop owner turned certified financial professional, and today we're going to dig into building financial peace of mind while being a small business owner with an entrepreneurial spirit, which is all something that she has achieved through really putting in the work and doing things that are true to herself and true to her own nature and desires in business. A really interesting conversation for those of you out there who have that entrepreneurial nature, but you still want peace of mind in your own activities. So let's dive right into it. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a bit about your journey, starting that coffee shop, selling it off, and how you redefined your financial life?
Yeah, thanks, Taylor. It's great to be here. So I could probably talk for hours about what that journey was like, all the ups and downs and twists and turns of it. But I call it my MBA program. I learned through the School of Hard Knocks how to get that business started without any kind of background in that. I've always been a planner. So I loved writing the business plan, and I read books to help me with that. But it was really learning by doing throughout the whole process. And there were some rough patches in there, and I'm thankful for some great team people in my life that came alongside and gave us a boost, right? That's one of the entrepreneurial myths, as we think of these entrepreneurs who start businesses and that one guy or that one gal and all the things they did, but they had this team around them. And that's one of the things I love to remind people as they're looking to live the life they want, is you got to do it with the team. Nobody does it on their own. You got to at least have customers to sell to, if not other people helping you sell to those customers or whatever. And so we figured it out. One of the big shifts that happened along the way was realizing that in addition to a team, in addition to that boots on the ground, getting stuff done, we also needed to pay more attention to our numbers and watch those more carefully, not in a way that produces stress, but in a way that we're in control. We've been empowered. We know what we're doing. And I've taken what I've learned through different trial and errors, different ways of doing that. And that's what I get to teach people now, is how that works for me, help them adapt it, how it works for them, so that they can be more in control of their financial future and do it in a way that expresses who they are and what they believe and how they want things to work for them. And they're there's no cookie cutter steps. It's actually a cookie cutter. You do this, then you do this. It's actually, let's explore, let's sandbox together. It's a lot of fun.
Great. When you made that pivot and decided to sell your coffee shop, what did that whole process look like? Why did you decide to sell and get out and reconfigure your professional and financial life?
I'll never forget the moment when I realized we have to change something. And it was when I got a positive pregnancy test. I knew we can't do business the way we want to and have our family be the way we want it to be and what we've dreamed of and how we exist, right? And how many hours we're working versus being able to spend time with the family, have that freedom and that independence. And so we just started exploring options. Do we hire a manager and pay them so we have less time, or more managers, right? Do we sell the business? Who would buy it? All those things. And there was actually a guy that kept asking us over the years that we had the business, what's your number? If you sold, how much would you sell for? And we went to him and was like, were you serious or were you just joking around? He's like, no, I'm serious. He was the executive director of a nonprofit, and he loved the social mission that our coffee shop was about and the job training that we would do and the direct trade with coffee farmers and blueberry farmers for the muffins, all those things. And he wanted to do more of that with his nonprofit too. So we ended up selling it to him, or to that nonprofit. And it was a whole journey of involving the attorneys and negotiating the terms and everything. We actually trained their new management because nobody on his team had coffee shop experience or not owning experience. Maybe they knew how to pull a latte or make some latte art, but not like the backside of things. And that was a lot of fun to then pass it off in that really like passing the baton in a way that they're actually catching the mission and catching the how we do things, so then they could propel forward much more quickly than if they had to start from scratch.
Wow. Okay. So regarding the timeline of that change, you got a positive pregnancy test, which congratulations. I hope everything's going well. But there's a timeline to that, right? You had 9 months and so on, then you're going to have a baby. So what did that all look like from the day that you started deciding, okay, we need to make a move, to the time where it was sold or you had some trajectory of the direction you were
going? Yeah, so it was actually Labor Day when we found out that we were pregnant. And I was probably like 8 weeks pregnant by then. I had been putting off, I don't want to take this test, because I was scared. So I was...
Labor Day, the holiday, not
correct,
the other type
correct,
of Labor
the
Day.
Holiday. Yes, that would be a totally different story if that was true. It was the other one.
Yeah.
So we started exploring then, and it was in December when we finally had, here's the terms of the buy, like here's what they're going to buy for, and a lot of those details had been worked out. So I would say it's about a month for us to say, okay, we're pretty sure we're going to sell it to this nonprofit, and then it's still a couple months to work out the agreement. And then we chose to actually have the transfer of the business happen in the next tax year. So January 2nd, we came in and actually signed, you're buying this. They gave us the deposit with payments that throughout the year. So we actually got some passive income, right? They weren't just paying it all up front. We got it over that gave us some time to, and we made interest on that, right? We weren't going to sell it for the same if they paid it all up front. We actually made some money by breaking it down to payments, which for them as a nonprofit was really great for them too. And then we trained the new staff for a couple of weeks, and they actually paid us extra to stay on for that training, which was great too. And then the day after we passed off the management, we were totally done. We actually started our next business right then. So it was January. My son was born in April. So we had 3 months of getting the new business started. We took our maternity leave, but I was like nursing and writing podcasts at the same time and stuff like that. We didn't really take any leave, but it was great to be at home, being able to do that together, not I have to go do some work and he's drinking out of a bottle or something like that. That fit our vision.
Great. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. So you, for a few months there, at some point you had this problem. I call it a problem, but it's an opportunity. Every problem is an opportunity, right? But you had this problem of needing to find the next venture to get into that was going to suit your needs and goals with regards to financial certainty, with regards to the time and flexibility that you wanted. I'm sure other things along those lines regarding healthcare or everything else that's so important when it comes to realizing value from your ventures. So as you were going through those processes, making those decisions and deciding which direction you wanted to go, walk us through all that and making those decisions and where you ultimately wound up.
Yeah, so when we decided like we're going to sell, we just have to figure out the details. I was obviously pregnant at that time. And I told my husband, you better go find a job because we got to support this little guy, right? No one's going to hire me. Unfortunately, that's how our HR places work. And for right or for wrong, that's just how it is. And so he dragged his feet for a long time. He didn't really want to go work. And going back to the cubicle land we were in before was not appealing after you've been an entrepreneur for many years. We sold 8 years into the business. So we were working for ourselves and our own schedules, all those things for that time. And so we started thinking like, we started this first business because learning the story of the millions of coffee farmers around the world that live in extreme poverty and knowing like where we purchase coffee from made a big difference for their lives. And that could be true too for the farmers in the US that we were sourcing other ingredients from. And the friendships that we had built in coffee shops, like in the cool things that had happened because of those developments there from that kind of third place. Like we started this because that story and that impact changed our lives. What has changed our lives as we've started this business that we could pass on to others? Like, what's some impactful things? We started exploring that. And we realized about two and a half years in, we met this man. His name is Mark, and he's a certified financial planner. And he opened our eyes to financial concepts that I'd never heard before, right? I'd started a business. I was a big Susie Orman fan. I had a book of hers on my bookshelf. Every time I made a financial decision, I'd pull it off, read what she would say first. It's my financial Bible that way. And he like taught me things that she didn't teach me or that I'd never encountered ever anywhere else. And it opened our eyes to just how on the edge of bankruptcy we really were as entrepreneurs, right? Something goes wrong in the business, we could be filing bankruptcy. And he helped us walk back from that edge and get to a much more stable footing. We were like oblivious, right? Like we were peaceful because we didn't pay attention. But then once he opened his eyes, we realized like, oh, we got a little stressed. But then he helped us find that peace again, and actually a much more real peace, not a fake peace just from ignoring it, right? Our heads weren't in the sand anymore, which can feel peaceful. We were up and looking around and still feeling peaceful as he walked us through that. And so we're like, what if we did that for others? And so my husband actually applied to work with Mark. And Mark was like, nope, you're too entrepreneurial. You can't be in the financial sector. There's a box. You got to stay in the box. And thankfully, Mark's wife is also in the business with him. She came up with this brilliant idea to have me be part of the team as well. And my husband and I do it together, but not be employees of theirs, but create our own business, their own branding. And he would just mentor us and teach us what he's learned, what he's learned, and help us get started more quickly and all of that. It was the best money we ever spent taking him on as a mentor. And he helped us get started much more quickly that way. And we also could exercise some of that entrepreneurial spirit with our branding and with how we taught, communicated big concepts, like what is financial independence? How do you define that? Not in the actual products that we were using or tools or software. We could stay with compliant with those kind of things.
Okay, so your network and a relationship that you had wound up helping you out once you had left or sold the bakery sold the coffee shop. And you were, I say bakery because my wife's working on buying a bakery right now. Mm-hmm. So that's, I'm comparing your story to mine is the bakery. But so sold the coffee shop, and years prior to that, you had implemented some of his advice to put yourselves in a better financial position. You said, okay, we can pay it forward by maybe helping others with that advice. This person, Mark, who's actually been on the show before, he was willing to help you out, but like, why? What was in it for him? Essentially, he's training his competition and helping you get set up, but he liked you guys. So why would he do that?
Yeah, I think Mark definitely has this abundance mindset, and he knows there's way more people in the world than he could work with. And we have a different perspective than he does. So I've met so many people that they go to work with a certified financial planner, and they're business owners, they're entrepreneurs, they have a side hustle, they want to have more money to put into their thing. And the financial planner just wants to talk to them about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. They've never started a business. They don't know what it's like, those kind of things. So I think Mark saw that vision in us that we could come in and we could be like, how do we help you put more money into what you're doing rather than siphon it off? Sure, diversification is important, but let's not just talk about other people's businesses and how you can buy their stocks. Right. Let's talk about your own business. How do we shore that up, make sure it's stable? So you actually have more money if you want to do the other thing, not less.
Okay. So you mentioned a couple of terms that I think are relevant to a lot of folks who listen to podcasts like this one: financial freedom, financial independence, and what that means, not just in a particular specific investment sense, but what that means and what you get back and freedom and everything. So what did that mean for you as you were like seeking to redefine your financial life? And what has that term come to mean to you over the years?
I've never been, this is going to sound really weird for a CFP to say this, but I've never been a person that immediately goes to like dollars and cents in terms of my goals, right? I'm thinking more of impact, how my time is being used, that kind of thing. So it's often been like, I get to spend time with my son, right? Like when we were first starting, that was a big driver. And I can work during nap times or after he goes to bed, but I get to spend that time and develop those memories and things like that. But it really started as like family unit with maybe a little bit of here's how we'll impact others, right? But what I've found is that it's the more I think about others and then how that can actually boost our family unit too, and keeping that holistic perspective is really helpful. So I've actually, when people ask me my financial freedom number now, I love telling them. It's so much fun. It's 12. They're like, what? Financial freedom? 12? What is that? is I want to, I'm a leader naturally. I love leading, coaching, mentoring, that kind of thing. I want 12 people that I'm mentoring, coaching, helping them in their professional development in some way, shape, or form. And if I'm doing that, I know I'm using my gifts to make an impact in the world, and probably I'm making enough money from because of how we structured those relationships and or the impact that I'm making in their lives that's providing a value that should give me a value in return, right? So that could be people on my staff, right? If my agency is going to grow to a certain level and have 12 people working for me, it's going to have to be a certain size of business, right? There's some numbers that go along with it, but to keep that in mind, that if I have 12 people around me that I'm helping them succeed and be give their gift to the world, that's part of how I give my gift to the world. All the money and stuff should solve itself from there. And I do use some concepts and some principles, some ways that I make sure that happens, and I don't get so caught up in the people that I give away all the stuff and don't make anything in return. So guardrails to that, but that's ultimately how I think about it.
Great. Okay. So I want to go back to this situation where you were in at one point where there was a, I don't want to say a risk of bankruptcy of the coffee shop, but to go back to that kind of position that you were in and you were helped to realize, oh, geez, we're running this more on the ragged edge than we really should. And you made some moves to correct that and get into a better position so you'd ultimately be able to sell the business one day. Can you describe that to us? What were the mistakes that you were making or the moves that you had made that had resulted in being that position? And then more importantly, what changes did you make to get yourself out of that kind of riskier financial spot?
So in any business, the first few years, for the most part, you just go after it. You do whatever it takes to get it going. No, it's going to take a few years to be profitable, particularly with something like a restaurant with the small profit margins. It takes maybe a couple more years than the normal business. So we were still in that phase and we were doing whatever it took to make things happen, right? Eating ramen for dinner, those typical things. And as we were doing that, we kept $5,000 in our emergency fund. That was it, right? $5,000. This was also like over a decade ago. So it went a lot further then, but still not a lot. And I know there's financial entertainers that say just have $1,000 until you get off all your debt, that we at least had $5,000. We thought we were doing better than most people do, right? But we were trying to pay down debt, rounding up on debt payments, the typical things people do. And what we learned, one of the very first concepts that Mark taught us was about the what's called bank on yourself, where immediately what we started doing was instead of paying extra on our debt, we started saving that extra into a bank on yourself type whole life policy, properly designed and all that. And then when that cash value in that policy increased, we were paying the minimums on our debts, we could actually take a policy loan and wipe out our debt all at once. So then if the proverbial stuff hit the fan, while we were doing that process, we had a much bigger emergency fund, right? Those debt payments we were making, they were going to give us back our money if we had something happen, but we could still pay off our debt smartly that way. And then the other side of it was when we did make that move and we had saved up this nest egg, we used it to pay off our debt. Now we're paying ourselves back. Our money's still growing as if we didn't touch it. We're paying ourselves back and we can skip a payment and no one's going to come and like repossess a car or, you know, shut us down or anything. We're our own source of financing at that point. So we're in control. We can pay more some weeks, some months, right? Like rather than being stuck in this, we're paying off this debt at a certain amount every time. And that really catapulted us into what we call the wealth accumulator like way of doing money, where our money is always growing and we're able to access it and use it when and how we want to. I think that's really important, especially for business owners. When we're under 59 and a half, we don't want our money locked away in some retirement account that we can't use to grow our business. But it's also in a place where it to be a little more strategic, a little more intentional when we use it. Whereas a savings account, use it whenever, however you want, right? No one's going to, you're not going to think as much about it. Or if it, especially if it's in a checking account, like you're going to just use it and not think about it. So it's giving us this intentionality in how our money flowed that ultimately helped us remember to build wealth rather than just watch money move.
Great. Okay. When you sold the coffee shop or realized, found out you were pregnant and looked to sell the coffee shop, a big important part of that for you that you said earlier was creating that time flexibility or availability of time so that you could be present with your son. A very important goal. So in your current, you know, business position today, what does that kind of time flexibility or availability look like? And how have you, you know, redesigned things or maybe intentionally designed things to make sure you have that time available while giving, you have time available enough for your son, of course, but then also time available for yeah. the business.
So I'm a confessed workaholic. If there was a Workaholics Anonymous, I would be the first member to sign up. So I actually have the difficulty of stopping work to and remembering to spend time. One of the things I love cooking, and cooking is a stress reliever a little bit. So if I have to cook dinner for the family, I'm going to stop working, right? Because that I know that's going to be important nutrition-wise for our family to not have some fast food or something like that. But it's also going to help me relieve stress and kind of remind myself I have to stop work in order to have dinner on the table for the family. And so that was like the first step, and especially as he was, you know, eating real food and stuff. But now he's in kindergarten. And it's been so great to be able to take him to school, go to work, finish work, go pick him up when he's done with school. And then we go reading and to the gym and we make dinner and we get to spend the rest of the day together. And I know if I was working a 9-to-5, I'd be much later at picking him up. We'd be more rushed in the evening, things like that. And then the way I make up for that is his dad stays at work till 4:35, somewhere around in there. And then he spends Saturday mornings. They get to go do a father-son adventure on Saturday mornings. I get to do some of the best work that I do because a lot of my clients want to meet on Saturdays because they're working their 9-to-5 during the week. And so it helps me. The office is quiet. I do my meetings. I get a little more peace to do things in between meetings to get caught up from the week. It's one of the best decisions I made. So I have this every single day is the same. I start time, end time, Monday through Saturday. And then Sunday is just family adventure day. I don't work on Sundays. We do whatever. We go to church, have an adventure, especially when it's summertime. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I'm glad that change has worked out for you and you found a way to apply your purpose and your own business experiences to helping others. And that's all worked out for you. Right now, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor.
Are you looking for a way to easily track your rental property finances? Check out Stessa. Stessa makes managing real estate investments simple. You can easily keep track of the performance, finances, and the paper trail of your rental properties. Our listeners can get started for free and then upgrade at any time to unlock their more advanced tools. And the even better news is that the upgrade is very affordable and will not break your bank. Smart investors know that tracking the numbers, tracking the money, tracking the finances is what really drives your success. Check out Stessa. It'll make your property finances easier. Just go to escapingwallstreet.com, scroll down to the Stessa logo, and get started for free. Now back to the show.
All right, Amanda, I've got three questions I ask every guest on the show.
Yes.
Are you ready? Great. Number one, what's your number one book recommendation?
Is it okay if I say something I've written? Okay.
That's fine.
So
sure.
I'll hold it up. This past year, I self-published this book called 5 Smooth Stones. You'll notice it doesn't say anything financial on it because it's actually a place where people can not just read, but do the financial work, write numbers in here, things like that. So we didn't want it to look like, hey, look, all my numbers are in here. It has a 12-week journey that folks can go through to find more peace and serenity with their finances.
Question number two, who or what inspires you?
Honestly, my clients are so much fun to work with. A lot of them are real estate investors and business owners, and that they have each a unique goal, a unique roadblock to that goal, and I get to jump in and strategize and plan with them. It's so much fun. I leave every day to go pick up my son inspired.
Nice. Number three, think about Amanda at 80 years old. If you could sit down, have a conversation, maybe a phone call with her, what advice or feedback do you think 80-year-old Amanda would give to Amanda of today?
Yeah, I think she'd be really proud of me for choosing to create foundational wealth that I know is going to be there when I'm 80 and I don't have to micromanage it then. I can just enjoy it.
Thank you for joining us and sharing your journey once again, coming back on the show. If folks want to get in touch, where can they track you down?
My website is wealthwisdomfp, as in financial podcast.com. wealthwisdomfp.com. And wherever you listen to this podcast, you can find us, Wealth Wisdom Financial Podcast.
Thank you once again for joining us today. To everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review. Don't forget to subscribe and catch us here every weekday. Right now, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you on the next one. Great. Well, thank you once again for joining us today. To everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and catch us here every weekday. Right now, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you on the next one.